I'm definitely going to be playing some more of that for you. By the way, I appreciate those of you again who have the opportunity to listen to the program from day to day, from week to week, month to month, and sharing the feedback that you give to me to let me know that we're on the right track. There are those of you who let me know that you enjoy the music. There are those of you who let me know that you enjoy the topics. And I really appreciate that, because really this is definitely for you. As I've shared before, this really is not something that I consider a show. It's not something that I'm doing just to be doing it. A lot of you probably have picked up on the fact long ago that there's purpose to this program. And that's why I really focus on calling it a program much more than I call it a show. Sometimes I will call it a show, especially if I'm meeting someone for the first time. They ask me what I do, and I'll share with them that I host a radio talk show, because I know that a lot more people are familiar with, they can just flow with that a lot better than if I were to say I host a radio program. I've actually done that before, shared with people who are meeting me for the first time that I host a radio program, and they have puzzled looks on their faces. And then if I change it and say, well, I host a radio talk show, they light up, and it's obvious that the confusion just clears away from their faces. Oh, okay, so what do you talk about? And so usually if I'm introducing to someone what I do, I'll use the phrase radio talk show. But if I'm on air, you'll notice that you rarely hear me refer to this as a show, because it really is a program. And I simply do that to distinguish between doing something just for entertainment as opposed to something that has a higher purpose, a greater purpose. And so I really appreciate you all for helping to shape it. As a matter of fact, I don't remember if I've ever said this before, but I want to thank you now, those of you who have been listening for a while, especially those of you who were listening to the program in the beginning. And when I say in the beginning, I mean roughly 10 years ago. And I was trying to encourage people who were listening to call in with questions, comments, etc. And people who were listening to the program way back then, when I would say to them, hey, look, why don't you call in? People were letting me know, they were telling me, this is not a call-in talk show. And the listeners, the members of the Speaking With community, were telling me, this is a program where we're supposed to listen. We're not supposed to call in. And time and time, for a year and a half, those were the responses that I was getting. And so, of course, some people were sharing with me that they're listening from work and they don't want to, you know, take a chance on getting in trouble by calling from work. I agree with that 100%. Some people are saying they just didn't want their voices to be heard over the airwaves. But by and large, the reason given for not calling in was, this is not a call-in talk show. And so, like I said, and I'm just being honest, it took me a year and a half to finally go ahead and accept that. But I tell you, once I allowed that concept of this not being a call-in talk show, but one where the listeners are supposed to just listen. And again, that's what the listeners told me. I finally, 18 months later, accepted that and said, okay. And that's the reason, if there are any of you who are listening now and you've only been listening for a few months and you've noticed that you never hear anyone call in and you don't hear me even invite people to call in, that's the reason. It's not that I'm trying to shut that aspect of a radio program out. It's just that earlier in the programming, people let me know by not calling in, even when invited to do so. And those who let me know why people were not calling in, that's the reason that we do it that way. Now, that said, let me share with you some of what you'll hear next week if you're able to listen in with us then. I want to share with you, first of all, a few of the guests that we'll have on for next week, starting with Christopher Doyle, who will be speaking with me on Wednesday. That will be a repeat broadcast from this coming Sunday the 21st. For 1 hour, I'll be speaking with Christopher Doyle. who will really be talking with us about how we can have healthy family relationships even when someone in the family is dealing with gender identity issues. Something we need to be aware of, and I think it's something that we're going to find ourselves dealing with more and more and more as homosexuality, bisexuality, transgender matters become more and more a part of the human mix. I'm not saying that it should be that way, but let's just face the facts. Based on how we're being indoctrinated on TV, radio, you name it. These non-traditional sexual orientations are becoming more and more prevalent. And as a result, we're going to see more of that taking place in families. I mean, people come from families. Everyone comes from a family, even if they never lived with the family. Everyone comes from a family. And most of us live with family. And even with divorce being on the increase, most of the time, even after divorce, if there are children involved, they live with one or other of the biological parents. So they remain in families. And as we move on, I think we can anticipate, I think it's fair to expect that more and more children are going to be in families where someone is going to be involved in non-traditional sexual orientation. Think about it. We have adults, and I'm not talking about 22-year-old adults either. I'm talking about 42-year-old adults, 50-year-old adults who are homosexuals living with their partners. More of them marrying. When I say homosexual, again, same sex. So whether you're talking female or male, same sex. Living with each other. And more adopting children. Homosexual married couples adopting children. More and more, we're being taught it's okay to be homosexual, bisexual. I've talked with people who are millennials who mentioned that when they were in high school, particularly on the female side, bisexuals, homosexuals, open about it, not even trying to hide it, walking down the halls together, kissing each other in the public. And so, again, as all of this increases, I think that it's going to become more and more prevalent that we're going to have gender issues, gender identity issues within the households. And so it's an important conversation that Christopher Doyle has with me with regards to how to have healthy family relationships, even when gender identity issues are part of the mix. We'll also be hearing from Jose Humphrey. He pastors a multi-ethnic church in East Harlem, New York. And we're going to be hearing from him about the importance of the church doing the work of the church, planting where it needs to be planted, and staying there unless God at some point down the road says it's time for you to move on. On Friday, Power Friday, next Power Friday, I'll be speaking with Sharkey Zartman, professor, holistic health professional, former volleyball standout. She'll be talking with us about how we can develop successful athletes amongst our youth, especially our own children, how we can develop successful youthful athletes. Sharkey Zartman, next Friday, Power Friday, 1 o'clock. Jose Humphrey, next Thursday, 1 o'clock. And so my conversation with Jose Humphrey will preempt the Into the Future feature. We won't feature Into the Future next Thursday. Instead, we'll be speaking with Jose Humphrey. Christopher Doyle on Wednesday. You can go to speakingwith.com, click on the link that is labeled this week's guests and topics, and that will bring it to you. All that we plan to talk about, all that we plan to discuss throughout the week. And normally, that's up and ready sometime Sunday evening for the week, which for me runs Monday through Sunday. For the programming purposes, I will usually I run Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. from Monday through Sunday so that it's just easier to keep the weekend together rather than broken up. Have Sunday separated from Saturday by those 5 days in the middle. It's just easier for me, organizationally speaking, just keep the weekend together. So I run my program Monday through Sunday. All right. Back to soaring. And ladies and gentlemen, I think it's good to soar. One of the things that Dr. Stosny points out, we were comparing how we feel when we value someone else to how we feel when we devalue someone else. And his point is this, that when we value someone else, we experience more vitality, more meaning, and more purpose. And here's the thing. Remember, I was sharing before this whole notion of whether what we're doing is conscious, we're doing it consciously or subconsciously. The impact is going to be there regardless. Yeah, a spouse devaluing the marriage partner. I guarantee you, even if it's only happening on a subconscious level, that spouse who cheated is feeling bad about self. And that's part of the reason they try to keep that dirty deed a secret, especially from the person they're married to. They feel bad enough about themselves. Even if they don't realize it, they certainly don't want to feel worse by letting the one they're married to find out about it. We experience more vitality, more meaning, and more purpose by valuing other people. Valuing others makes self-value soar.